This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we're talking about the benefits of a plant-based diet today. Our guests are the authors of a new cookbook, Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, Live Fierce, Stay Bold, Eat Delicious. And we'll talk with them about creating great, tasty recipes and why this lifestyle is healthier. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you looking for ways to change up your plant-based meals? Do you need some help persuading your family members to get on board? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Jane Esselstyn and Anne Kreil Esselstyn, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jill.
You're welcome. I had such a good time researching this, not only your book, but your YouTube channel. I sort of got addicted. I started rewatching them. I'm like, oh, I've got to stop. I'll never get this done. So you look like you have a really good time doing it.
Yeah, it's lots of fun. And no shrimp, Jill.
No, because we were talking to your whole producer.
Yes, yeah, that was Trina, and she shared with me that you told her not to have the shrimp on her Alfredo.
What, you mean my mom shamed her into not having shrimp but having mushrooms instead? Sorry.
That's what moms are for. So I understand completely, Jane. So, or Anne, I should say. Anne, you've been eating a plant-based diet for decades now. And that wasn't always the case, though. I really enjoyed reading the story about what was served at your wedding. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I grew up with my father.
What was your wedding?
I wanted to go a little back, give you a little back. I grew up with my father, who was a crazy, wonderful general surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic, but also a maverick. And we ate the snails off the driveway. He called them escargot. We ate roadkill if it was still warm. We ate city pigeon, and he called them quail or whatever.
Squab.
Yes.
So that's how I grew up, and we had goat roasts and so forth. And so on the night before we were married, my husband and I had a goat roast. And then in keeping, the first meal that I served to my parents and our very elegant landlords when after we were married was cow tongue. I am sort of horrified. I can't imagine even eating it.
I can't imagine shopping for it.
I can't imagine cooking. Anyway, that's where I came
from.
So
she could be a plant-based woman warrior. Anyone can.
Okay, because that's what I kind of wanted to establish, is that you didn't come from this because this is how you grew up, but you came to this through, well, tell us the story, Anne. How did you switch from eating tongue to plant-based diet?
Tongue to plant-based. That is really interesting. I love the way you put that. Well, it was my husband who was a general surgeon, and he did a lot of work with breast cancer patients. And he felt that there was no end to the number of women coming. And he noticed that in Japan, the women didn't have breast cancer.
Had much lower rates, yeah.
Well, yes, lower rate. And when they came to the United States, the next generation was having the same amount of breast cancer as people here. So it was the food. So he got the idea to go on to have, he figured if he took breast cancer people, it would take forever. So he decided to do it with heart disease.
Patients.
And so he started out with 12 patients who were sent home because there was no further thing that could be done for them. And he had no meat and no dairy and no oil for those patients. And they thrived. And it was incredible. They all lived on and on.
And my mom's role in all that.
And then we had to figure out how to eat because we had no, I mean, we...
There's no internet.
There was no internet.
This is the 80s, right?
It was the 80s. In Cleveland, Ohio.
In Cleveland, Ohio, right.
I was teaching school, and I was teaching English, and one of the vocab words for my sixth graders was vegan and also vegetarian. I mean, who knew those words back then?
Right.
So It was a challenge, but we did it.
But Jill, what you're picking up on is the reason why I actually wanted to write this book, because it's my mom's third cookbook. It's my fifth cookbook. And, you know, in the past, we've worked through the lens of, recipes for heart disease patients, specifically clinging to that fine line of no meat, no dairy, no added oil, and no nuts and no seeds and no avocado, no coconut, because their heart disease is they need to get to a maintenance level of health. They really are, mm-hmm. It's scary.
Sure.
Compliance is key. So that is how did some of our cookbooks, but some of the ones I did with my brother Rip were more plant strong, and we same guidelines of no meat, no dairy, no added oil, but we had some avocado and little guacamole or some nuts in some of the sauces, which is a world of difference in flavor and taste. So my mom, in the 80s, when she got this first theory dropped in her lap, you know, with four kids, full-time job, a husband who worked full-time, a dog, she somehow made this happen. She carried us forward. So I was like, this is the tip of the hat to my mom, because I want to make a book about how she and I have made it these decades, eating this way, cooking this way, when we weren't trying to be firefighters, and we weren't trying to be heart disease patients, but really how we do it, which is, kind of a little bit of both. And so I'm glad you asked her how she got there, because that's what this.
But you had some other reasons too.
Well, she hasn't asked me about it.
Well, I'm asking.
Go ahead, Ann.
No, I want you to.
Well, you make my job easier if you just continue to talk. That I can just sit here and listen.
I think you'll be interested in. What
well,
some,
another
say.
Reason why, but it's of course a tip of the hat to my mom and all that she's done in this. But secondly, the majority of women,
more importantly than me,
the majority of people who think about food, prepare food, shop for food, serve food to their families, themselves, and their communities, are women. And in the United States, it's sort of sad that the health outcomes of the United States have really taken a turn for the unhealthier. And I hate to say it, but like majority of those serving and preparing, I mean, yes, there's plenty of men who are there as well in households and communities and restaurants and whatnot, but the majority of us are women. So I want us to, because the name of our book, by the way, we didn't say the name of our book yet.
Oh, I've said it a couple of times, but
you
go
did.
Right ahead.
Oh, you did. Okay, so be a plant-based woman warrior. Live fierce. Stay bold. Eat delicious. The reason I say that is because I want the health outcomes to be going in a better direction, a healthier direction. So I want women especially to be fierce and bold and make delicious food with way more greens, beans, veg, fruit, berries, all that good stuff that's out there. And I love it how in the UK they say, eat more veg. And I wish that made sense here, but that's really what I'm trying to push for.
Absolutely. Now, Jane,
she has a third reason.
There's a third reason. Okay, go ahead.
No, well, there's endless reasons why this is a book for women.
But this third reason I think you'll like.
Okay.
Sorry, Jill.
Sorry, I'm running the program.
Wait, are we getting in the way of your...
Not at all. You continue.
another reason why I really wanted this to be focused on women is that I have three brothers. I'm surrounded by brothers. And we're all a year or less than a year apart. My mom and dad were 1, 2, 3, 4 with our kiddos. And growing up, we all were athletes, swimmers, and we all swam for our universities. So I swam for University of Michigan on scholarship. And there my brothers are, their universities swimming. And we're just all in wicked, healthy, fit shape. And at that age, my freshman year in college, I was, training for NCAAs. And, there's Michigan. You're in Wisconsin, those big D1 schools. And I'm filling out and I'm getting curvy and I don't know what's going on with my identity. Like, I don't like what's happening here, how I look and how I feel strong. But I was so conflicted in my mind. It was such a burden I didn't want to have going on. And I knew my brothers hadn't spent 1 minute thinking about what food they're putting in their mouth and how they can have enough food in them to exercise and train and lift and get up in the morning and do it again and perform. And so anyway, somehow at this point in my life, magically, my parents, who were back in Cleveland, call and say, yeah, we're doing this thing. We're not eating any meat or dairy or adding oil and da, 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 da. So a plant-based diet, which we hadn't had that, we didn't have that term at that time, but basically a plant-based diet landed in my lap at that time. And I made it happen at the dorm in Michigan and kind of made it happen when I was living in a house. And I really am so, I always say I'm so wicked thankful. I feel so lucky that plant-based came into my life then, because I have not been burdened with, I'm doing air quotes here, food head, which I know haunts so many people and loads of women out there. And it's just liberating to not have it. So
That actually was going to be one of my questions. So you totally answered it, as in how difficult was it for you to switch? You know, you were older. We weren't a little kid. So that must have been difficult. And I think that people who are thinking about it probably are asking the same thing. Well, how can I give up the stuff that I've loved forever? What was that changeover like?
Well, like we were talking with, I forget her name,
Trina?
About, she's like, say, what are you guys having for dinner tonight? And we were like, oh my gosh, we have a big event. So we're just busy cooking everything else except for dinner right now. She's like, well, I'm shrimp scampi or shrimp something or other. We were like, so we're like, well, you know what? Go with your pasta. Great. Maybe it's going to be whole grain pasta, but just switch out the shrimp from mushrooms, and you're saving the seas, the oceans, the lives of the little shrimp. Your cholesterol level will not shoot up, because shrimp has the most cholesterol of any food in the world. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm trying to scare Trina. But it's easy to switch it. So I think people need to understand they probably are doing a pretty good job already. You know, you'd like oatmeal, go with oatmeal. Just don't put dairy milk on it. Put water on it, or blueberries, or whatever you like, or a non-dairy milk.
And now you realize you're talking to someone in the dairy state, right?
But Wisconsin's making some strides. Wisconsin's making great strides in widening the net there, and not just being so dairy focused, but letting other stuff in as well.
That's very true. Good recovery. I like that, Jane. So we are talking about plant-based eating with Jane and Ann Esselstyn. And their book is called Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, Live Fierce, Stay Bold, Eat Delicious. What questions do you have? Join in by calling 800-642-1234. Our on-air producer today is Claire Neipert, and Trina LaSousa is our technical director. And we are talking about plant-based food today. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. After 11:45, we'll talk about women in the field of aviation. So that's next on the Ideas Network. But let's go to the phones right now. We've got a couple. Actually, the phone lines are full, so we've got some people who want to talk to you. Let's go to Sandy in Madison. Sandy, thank you so much for holding on. What's your comment?
Well, I am absolutely thrilled to talk to you both. I live in Madison. I'm over 50, and I went whole food plant-based about 2.5 years ago. And I can attest to the power that moms and women have in their families. It's been an amazing choice for me, my husband, and our adult daughter is a fourth-year medical student who has also gone plant-based.
Yay!
I know. And beyond that, she has somehow connected with you all and Brian Hart, I guess, of you all. And you're going to be teaching a series of classes that she kind of initiated.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so glad you're bringing that up, Sandy. You're absolutely right. Our Esselstyn Foundation does work with trying to get the plant-based message, the message of how, you know, plant-based eating can prevent and reverse all kinds of lifestyle-related diseases. And we do it free of cost, where people cannot otherwise find or fund this. And one of these places, surprisingly, is in medical schools. There's always like a plant-based group in a medical school, and they get this in. So, Sandy, your daughter is working some magic. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Sandy. Really appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Sandra in Libertyville, Illinois. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. What do you have for us?
I am an older woman. I am a 72-year-old woman who's been vegetarian and then plant-based for about 3.5 years now. And I feel fabulous. I'm a dog walker. But I am not a big eater. I'm a tiny, tiny eater. I think that just happens with age, maybe. And I have an integrative physician who is plant-based who says, no, you don't need to take vitamins. Yet I think I know what I eat. I don't believe I eat enough. And so am I doing a disservice to my physical body by not adding vitamins on top of what I am eating?
Great question, Sandra. Ladies?
Well, Sandra, thank you so much for your call. And I'm so proud that you have a plant-based physician in your neck of the woods. That is so exciting, or one who's supportive of your path. And Sandra, obviously we're on the radio. We don't know you. We don't see you. We have no labs or clinical numbers in front of us. But all I want to just respond with is, you know, if you have a small appetite, you're obviously listening to what your body wants. And if you can eat more, if you can eat more, if you don't want to, don't. I mean, it's your body is really kind of attuned to what it needs and doesn't need. The only vitamins that we really focus on taking as plant-based woman warriors ourselves are B12, which is actually not, you don't get that from food.
Everyone who is should to be taking.
Yeah, everyone really should take that, just because our food supply, if you will, is so clean. This actually, B12 comes from basically outdoors and dirt. And vitamin D, which comes from the sun. And Wisconsin is kind of the same latitude as Cleveland, Ohio. So we take our vitamin D
occasionally.
All year round, pretty much. But I'd focus on those two for sure, Sandra. But, you know, listen to your doc for sure. They'll know what they need to look for.
Well, as a small, first of all, I want you to know you're young. I'm 87. Secondly, I would just say, as a small eater, I would focus on the foods that are going to be the give you the biggest bang for your health, and just be sure you're avoiding the junky foods and go with that. And, you know, you just want to eat the foods that have enough calories so that you keep your weight up.
Thank you, Sandra.
Definitely, Sandra. And let's go to Kel. She's in Sugar Camp. Hi, Kel.
Hi. I was wondering if you might point out a reference guide that would just list plants and, veggies and, just everything in a plant-based diet, grains, that list them as to their protein content, proportion, and vitamins, minerals, amino acids, carbs, sugars, fiber. So you just had a reference guide so you can balance how much protein you're getting in per day.
Kel, the most important thing is that this country, this world, has been bamboozled by the importance of protein. There is protein in everything you eat. Now, that's Anne speaking. Now, Jane is going to go.
Yeah, Kel, I understand that people want to know so much about a plant-based diet. Suddenly, their inner biochemist comes out when no one's really been concerned about what they're eating when it's not been a plant-based diet. Protein is something that for some reason we become obsessed with, as my mom was saying. And I've never met anybody with a protein deficiency, and it's really hard to find them. It's called kwashiorkor. And that is when usually a small child, you see a distended belly happening to them and a discoloration of their hair due to literally lack of food. They have usually been nursing their mother, but their mother has a new baby. And so the baby gets nursed and the child is starving. So a protein deficiency comes from starvation. So our protein concern is not really, we've never thought about protein or done anything. We're both active every day, yoga, running, lifting, raking, running around, shopping, working. And I have three plant-based kids, and they're all swimmers on their swim teams. One of them has a handful of NCAA swimming records, national NCAA records. And
Jane's son is 6'7",
and he's never had milk or meat. So protein is something that you really need to look into the amount you need. Unless you have a protein deficiency, then please work with your doctor. But we want to just extinguish that. And if you're eating a rainbow of colors, you're getting a rainbow of chemicals and phytonutrients and micronutrients in your body. So we really don't look at that. We're not concerned with that. And we're the wrong reference for that, to tell you the truth.
And actually, unfortunately, or no, actually on purpose, in our book, we have no
calories.
Absolutely no calorie count, nothing, no protein, no anything. I mean, no portion sizes, because we want people to eat from these foods. And unless you are obese, then you, of course, you need
or to have heart disease or diabetes.
You need to be cautious. But anyway, that's
okay. Great. Well, thank you, Kel, for that question.
That was a nice discussion to have, Kel. Thank you.
Yes. For sure. Next in, we've got Judy in Wasaki. I'm sorry. Judy, what's your question?
I'm just curious. I'm used to cooking everything in butter and oils. I mean, what do you do to lube up your pan? What do you cook all vegetables in?
Onions, for instance, are filled with water. They brown and caramelize quickly just in their own little juice.
That's a great question, though, Judy. We just don't use anything.
Or you can add bits of vegetable stock, water, wine,
drips,
beer. So you're keeping the pan slightly lubricated, like if you're doing garlic.
But Judy, that's a great question. And we actually have a YouTube channel one of our things is cooking an onion with no oil, because that's a really popular question. And it's, again, something that we're sort of, this is this narrative that we have in our heads that, you have to grease a pan. You don't. It's like putting sunscreen all over your food or melted chapstick all over your food. It's sort of every single bite you take, you're getting that hit of grease and maybe salt or whatever, but that grease foundation is hijacking the flavor of these vegetables and their texture and their fiber and their just nutrients. So just get rid of the sunscreen. I mean, oil or butter or whatever you're using. See how it tastes when you're tasting the vegetables or fruits or whatever it is themselves.
But it's such a common question.
Thank you, Judy.
Because I think people really are in wonder how you can do it. And it's just easy.
Yep.
And that's one thing about your cookbook, too. And thank you, Judy. We appreciate the question. You do have at the very beginning some real basic cook basics, I think you call it. And that's one of them, is how to cook an onion. So that's in your book, too. So one question I had for you. What's the difference between a plant-based diet and a vegan diet in your situation?
That's a really good question. Thank you for clarifying that, Jill. Vegan is sort of a philosophy it's its own lifestyle philosophy, way of thinking and believing and ethics. So vegans really don't want to have shoes with leather in them or belts or clothing, or they don't, certainly no honey is in their food because that's the bees' food, and on and on and on, like that sort of very, very animals are to be respected and they should live their own lives and not be, eaten by us, or we shouldn't take their food away or take their milk out of their udders or whatever. And so that's vegan. And so obviously they're eating a plant-based diet and also have this further philosophy of what they're eating. And vegans will eat things that don't have animals. And so vegans, we might have, potato chips and beer and donuts and just, there's all kinds of, even these Impossible Burgers, a Beyond Burger and all this stuff, which is so wonderful because you're not burdening the planet with all the, everything that's, part of the animal agriculture every day, which is sort of horrifying to the planet with just our resources, everything being sent this way versus this way, like water use going over here when water use should go to growing plants for everybody maybe. Anyway, I didn't mean it so judgy there. But sustainability-wise, not being a plant-based diet is great. But vegans are not really what we're talking about when we say plant-based diet. Plant-based, we're talking about – and our first caller, Sandy, said it well. She's on a whole food plant-based diet. And whole food plant-based really is, we try to eat foods kind of in their whole form. So if we're having a veggie burger, we're not going to have an Impossible Burger, which is mostly coconut oil not necessarily coconut oil, but a whole bunch of different oils and powders and potions and poof, fake
and beet
colored. So it looks like blood, that kind of stuff. We'll make a veggie burger with oats, rice, beans, like black beans and oats and cooked
spices
rice and spices all smashed together. So there's more of like whole foods in there. Not the store, but the whole food. And they're more whole form, like oatmeal, not, instant oatmeal.
My husband, on whom we sort of, we clearly stand.
On his shoulders.
On his shoulders, says that he treats vegans for heart disease almost as much as the regular population. So it is very easy to get sucked into the vegan junk food world. And it is huge out there, and it is well marketed. And you go into any grocery store and you will see huge signs that say the alternative milks, alternative meat. Now, the alternative milks are mostly good, but you've got to read the ingredients. It is stunning how much oil and sugar can be added to things that you wouldn't believe would be added.
Yeah, definitely. That's all very good advice for everybody when they're buying any food, for that matter. And Jackie emailed us a question. She's wondering how diabetic-friendly plant-based diets are. Very, from your book.
Well, there's diabetes is a great question, and it's a little bit complicated because there's two different kinds of diabetes, and one type one obviously is one that we really, well, anyway, it's an autoimmune based disease, and it happens usually when people are quite young, like almost like single digit age. And that is something they have to manage their whole life long. And so being a plant-based eater makes their longer life a healthier outlook, healthier outcome, because they're not going to be burdened by their cells getting insulin resistance, because insulin resistance, which is sort of the key feature of type 2 diabetes, that turns around in a hot second on a whole food plant-based diet. Not plant-based or vegan, but a whole food plant-based diet, because all those receptors become so much more sensitive to insulin dropping off glucose, and people just, their sugars normalize in a matter of days. With there no meat, no dairy, no added oil is the key one there. Everyone thinks it's sugar. It's not. It's the oil clogging up. It's like hair in the drain of the shower. It's like leaves in the gutter. You just have to get all that junk out, the processed food, the oils and meat and dairy out, and boom, their numbers normalize. It's so compelling to see this happen. Beautiful.
Okay. If you have a question for Anne and Jane, please give us a call, 800-642-1234. We haven't talked a little basically about the book other than your information at the beginning. For those, when you pick it up, what are they going to find in the book?
They're going to find
beautiful photographs that are going to make you drool and eat the food.
They are wonderful. And you've got a picture for every recipe, which I love. So,
yeah, we do have a picture for almost every recipe, which was so exciting to try to work that in. And the different sections we offer are really this food that we love. So when we got the contract for this book, it was March 7th of 2020. So it was right before the world went sideways. And we didn't know if we could go to the store. We didn't know what we were going to do. Some foods weren't available. Like, it was such a crazy time in this, our existence. And my parents live next door, and, you know, them being in their 80s, I'm like, I'm going to go to this. Let me figure out what's going on with the world, and I'll be right back. So anyway, after a year and a half, we figured things out, and we finally assessed where we were with this book. Like, where are we with our, how far into this project are we? Let's see what we have. And we knew we were on the right track to make this book for plant-based women warriors when we had 7 breakfasts, 8 lunches, 9 dinners, and 44 desserts.
And I'm sure people are thinking, oh, but I can't give up my dessert. So, yeah.
No, we can't get away from them in our book. But we really also loved our sauce section so much. And we called our secret weapons, like sauces and salsas and hummuses and dressings and gravy and a guacamole. Like, these things make any dish delicious. So our publisher was like, let's put that first in the book before anything else. And we were like, wait a minute. Anne is such a breakfast bully. Like, for good, as we call her, a bully for good. So she's like, no, we have to have our breakfast first. And then after breakfast, it goes to sauces, which is not really the usual path of a cookbook. But
well, that makes such a big difference, doesn't it, with a plant-based diet? All your condiments, your spices, your sauces, like you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do have a question, a caller from Amherst. Hi, Vicki. What's your question for us?
Hi, my question is, I have read and heard all along that oils are good for our body. It's good for our skin. It's good for lubrication, our organs. And I'm wondering, I am obviously misinformed. And could you address that, please?
Thank you, Vicki. I'm so glad you asked that. That is a really great question. And you're absolutely right. And Mother Nature got it right. There is oil and fat in everything. And vegetable oil comes from vegetables. Olives are loaded with oil. Like, that's essential fats come in everything. I mean, there's oil in lemons. There's oil in lettuce. There's oil in oats. They're called fats. But there's all different kinds of fats. And they do come in almost every food in some form. And they come in the proportions that we probably thrive on best getting like that. Of course, it tastes great to like drizzle olive oil that came from 1600 olives being squashed onto
your salad. One tablespoon of olive oil equals 45 olives.
So that's an orange, an apple, an olive, they're all perfect because you have the skin, which is not the orange skin, but like you have the flesh and the fiber and the and then the bulk of the of all the pulp, which is such an important part to eat, because your microbiome and your gut, where all that good your good bacteria lives, all that thrives on is fiber. And fiber is found in plants. Animals have bones that hold them up. We have plants have fiber that holds them up. You cannot find anything more healthy than fiber for your bowels, your vessels, your skin, your eyes, your head, your mind. Fiber is it. I mean, the Cher's Eyes, the Michael Greger, Dr. Neil Bernard, Colin Campbell, all these researchers, all these current, like Christy Funk, the breast cancer surgeon in California, she is crazy about fiber. Fiber fueled Dr. Will Bolshevitz, he's sort of shaken up the microbiome like I've never heard before. And we always call our good researcher friend, Robin Schutkin, we call her the fairy godmother of the microbiome. And the only thing these people talk about is the importance of fiber. No one is worried about fat. We're getting plenty of protein and plenty of fat. They're kind of the goddess into this problem to begin with, of America and our health.
Definitely. I think we interviewed Robin, if I'm not mistaken, a few years back. But
she's wonderful.
Yeah, the microbiome was very, very interesting to talk about. We had mentioned about protecting against lifestyle diseases, and we talked about heart health. We talked about diabetes. And in the book, you mentioned that it can support hormonal and sexual health as well. Specifically, you know, we're talking about women. Could you tell us a story about Lily? I think that would probably hit home for a lot of people with her hot flashes, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Let me just interject one quick thing. Jane is, her love is teaching sex ed, and she has got some fabulous information to give you.
But you asked about Lily, and Lily is part of that whole conversation. And she was a friend of ours who had painful hot flashes. I mean, she was in her 50s or 50, I think. Painful. Like, they would wake her up. She would just shake during the day when they had happened, and was soaking wet, you know, all night long. Anyway, awful, awful, awful. And then her husband had a bad test on his heart, and so they got crazy concerned about his heart, and they went on a plant-based diet, and like that day, and the next day she had no hot flashes and no pain, and she thought, this is bizarre. And then the next day she didn't have it again, and they were still eating the plant-based diet. She was like, I cannot believe this. I have been suffering through this, and I feel like I want to scream from the mountaintops. This is one of the most important things to me, more important than like the climate or literature or anything. This is amazing that this can happen. And she just swears by this. I mean, obviously people are going to have different varying responses, but when she wrote us and said this, we were like, wow, this is really amazing. And I've heard this from plenty of other people, because you're really running through menopause with your own hormones and not the hormone impact or influence you're getting from eggs, from dairy, from meat. All those creatures are bringing different hormones into your body. So when you eat plants, you're just rocking in your own hormones.
Okay. Well, thanks for covering that for us. And like I said, go to the YouTube site if you want to learn a little bit more. Your latest video is excellent as far as hormones and sexual health goes. So check that out. And what's the name of your YouTube channel?
It's actually my name, which sounds braggadocious, but when we started it, we thought maybe only heart disease patients were going to find it. So it's Jane Esselstyn.
Okay.
And it's hard to spell, and it doesn't really signify anything, but boom. It's, look up JaneEsselstyn.
Okay. And you will find that. We also have link to that video channel, I believe, on our program notes, so WPR.org/Larry, and you should be able to find that, and also to the book itself on out there, so you can order that. And we're going to have to wrap things up a little bit, but what is the most surprising thing to folks who start making these recipes, who switch over to plant-based? What have you heard from the people that have done this?
Mommy?
Go ahead.
No, I don't have... it makes all the difference. It's just magic. Mm-hmm. It is just, as Jane was saying with Lily, it is totally surprising. And for heart disease patients, the angina can be gone, you know, and quickly, surprising. For heart disease patients, it is critical that they really stick closely to it and don't quit ever. I mean, that's what they have to do for life. But, you know, for kids, for normal, healthy people, nuts and avocado is great. But it does make a difference in your health.
And okay. How you feel. And it's funny, we came to the whole food plant-based arena, if you will, from health outcomes, you know, from the clinical setting. And we're in this arena, and suddenly it makes sense, not just for people's health outcomes, but also it makes sense for sustainability, for the planet, for the climate. It makes sense for animals, animal welfare, you know, compassion, and it makes sense for our pocketbooks. Supply chain issues. I'm like, oh, apples are a few more pennies. Like, I'm not trying to buy, you know, eggs or milk or dairy. Anyway, it just makes sense sort of all way around. And it's wonderful to not be burdened by the worry of disease or burdened by the worry of what could be coming around the corner or burdened by, I don't know, like,
just having the
clothes still fit. Yeah,
and the energy. And you two are wonderful examples. You're glowing, and all the energy that you have. And that's a very great testament to this lifestyle. So thank you so much. We are really happy to have talked with you, and good luck with the book. I think it'll be pretty popular. So,
Jill.
Yes.
I am very impressed with Wisconsin and the questions that you're listeners have asked. They are really important, key questions. So you have a really good radio program.
Well, we have really good audience. So thank you very much. We appreciate that. You guys take care. You bet. We've been talking about a plant-based lifestyle with Anne Kreil Esselstyn and Jane Esselstyn, and their book is called Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, Live Fierce, Stay Bold, Eat Delicious. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back to talk about women in aviation.